It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham, and this is episode number, computer operating slowly, 467. I don't know what happened. Things are a little different this week. We are talking live via Skype. I wish we had via satellite, but here via Skype with me is the one, the only. It has been said that no coffee can be made too black for him. He is the KevinMiller.com. I'm trying to time it out, and I nailed it, because I cannot, when we Skype...
Well, plug in your power pad and get to dancing.
Yeah, that's right. Jump and press the circle button. I forgot that when we do this via Skype, I can't control the level of the music, because if I turn it down, I also turn you down and make it a solo show, and that's not fun for anyone.
Well, and when we were in the pre-show, this wasn't happening, but now when I talk, you get completely muted, which is kind of weird. So as long as I'm filibustering, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. You're not saying anything. I can't
well,
hear you.
You don't even worry about it because I am on the recording end, so I can just chime in. Only it'll only be awkward when you don't know what I'm saying.
That's exactly what's going to happen because it's already happened three times.
Well, I was kind of hoping this would be easy, and if it's not, I apologize to our
listeners.
Well,
why did it change? Why, we were talking just fine.
It could change in less than a minute. I may or may not have foolishly decided to update my operating system. And not thinking, because I like to do that. I'm nerdy about that. I like to automatically do that, and I might have just clicked a button. And if there
while
was a thing,
we're talking, you've decided to upgrade a system?
Yeah, I was just, while we were talking, I was like, I saw that there was a little thing in my little app store on my Mac.
Wait, and so while we're recording, you thought you were going to change the system parameters to the very software that's running the entire computer.
Yeah, I don't. Do you see a bigger problem with this than I do?
A bigger problem? I think so. For I see a problem. Don't you think you're gonna have to restart your machine and everything after updating the software?
Well, then we'll just do a quick, less than a minute episode, and that's how we roll.
Short and sweet.
I wanted to tell this story. Because, again, this is, I think, now episode 8 of me saying thank you to thekevinmiller.com for telling me to get a Vita.
Yeah.
I am very happy about my purchase of that.
What would and you do?
I know, right? I finished the Assassin's Creed game for PSP. Not a big fan. I think we talked about that off air over the phone. It was okay, and I gave it a lot of leeway because I'm like, I think this is because it's for a now archaic system, which I think is only like 5 years old, if that. Like,
wait, the Vita is an archaic system?
No, the PSP. It was the PSP version for Assassin's Creed. Did I not make that part clear?
No, but go on.
And so then I played a little Gods of War in the car ride up here because I rode up with the comedian I'm working with, Heath Heitch, and I was playing that, and that is awesome.
You got a little sample of his show? Give us a little bit of the magic.
A little bit. Kevin Monte. But anyway, Gods of War was really cool from the PSP because I think it kind of lends itself to like Assassin's Creed, I think, is more of a story, cinematic type game. Gods of War, even Heath was like, I can't get into it because it's like a button masher, but I like the idea of it. But, I finished that, and then I got my new Assassin's Creed 3 and Assassin's Creed Liberation now for the Vita, and I first played the Liberation, and I really liked it. For anybody who hasn't tried it or doesn't already know, it's a new dynamic. You're a chick, which is hot.
Which surprises me, really. You know, it's been a while since we talked about lady games and lady gamer characters.
Yeah.
But so many games and franchises put women in the lead role because it's sexy to watch their little butts move around. And why haven't they done that sooner?
I don't know. It's because we're, it's weird to think of the, now I'm going to hate every time I say think, to think of the delineation, because the whole idea of Assassin's Creed is that they use the Animus to go back in his DNA, and they can access the memories of his ancestors through this Animus.
Oh, I see.
So for him to at one point be a chick, which is completely plausible in the, you know, in the idea of lineage, but I guess that's the only thing that they're like, that's too much. We can get that people believe that there is an underground war between the Templars and the Assassins, but even in the modern world in the future, and that you could jump back in time and actually climb cathedrals as your great 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 grandfather. But if it was your great 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 grandmother, that's weird. We can't do that.
I think you might be onto something there. I think story-wise, it kind of makes sense, so that you go, wait, am I playing a different character? You'd probably want them to be similar so that you know that they're the same person. And
yeah, the way they make it make sense in their world is it starts off by, it's almost like the advertisement for Total Recall or something, that it's like, we have... That's funny. In order for your installation to be complete, you must close the following application.
I knew it.
Safari. That's the one I had to close.
Skype.
So let me do that real quick, and then I can come back. No, it's not Skype. And then,
that would be crazy.
So what they did was they said, it's like, oh, this is it's almost like a game within a game. So they're saying, we're going to let you access this chick from the, you know, 1759, and she lives in the South, and it's going to be great, and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Catch us up, those of us who don't play Assassin's Creed. Is it the same character in all of the games? They're all his ancestors?
They're all his. It's Desmond Miles, are also voiced by my beautiful boyfriend, Nolan North. They are all his ancestors, yes. There's Altair, which is the first one, and then there's Ezio. And then there's a new guy, and I'm really interested in there's a new guy in this Assassin's Creed 3 that takes place in the Revolutionary War of America, and I'm way stoked about that. Like, I'm just like, this is, and it looks gorgeous. But anyway, before I move on to that, so in Liberation, one of the things that I've been trying to get to is that there's this cool disguise element that I don't remember existing in any of the other games, where you have three different personas, at least that I'm in maybe the first third of the game. I don't even think I'm 10% complete. But anyway, you can go and don costumes. So you have a lady costume, which does not let you climb or jump around, but you could still
fight. Because a lady wouldn't do that.
Of course. But what's great is you can, and for those of us who follow me and or the show on Twitter, I tweeted this, that I find it very empowering as a woman that when a mugger approaches me to whip out double blades from underneath the sleeve of my blouse and kill them.
Should have had that in Twilight.
Yeah, that was great. So you get that, you could do in the gaming, but then there's also this cool thing that reminds me of you in your days of, I guess, Guild Wars and or World of Warcraft, where you make a hot chick and then go around and interact with people as a hot chick to get things from them because they think you really are a hot chick.
Definitely did that in Guild Wars. Yeah.
And so you can charm guards, and you can actually create escorts. So it's like, if you technically the bad guys, if you walk up to them and you just do it, you hit it like circle. You don't have to jump. And you, so you hit circle, and then you could charm them, and then they follow you around. So if you walk by like a trio of these muggers slash safe rapists, I guess, because it's weird. They grab you and they're like, come here, little lady. And it's like, wow, this is kind of weird. But
did you say safe rapists?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I was like, I just saw that they were red. Like, you could see them on your little map, and they're just standing talking, and then they kind of give you a look. And when they notice you, they immediately like pounce on you like a pack of hyenas. And I feel like I'm being very misogynistic, so I apologize to the ladies if I'm being insensitive, but I just was like, I go, what are these guys going to do to me? I mean, yes, am I an attractive mocha-colored lady living in the South? Yes, so you can only lean one thing, you know, but I've got a lot. There's some kind of bonnet situation on my head and a petticoat underneath. There's a lot of mining that you got to get there to get to the, you know, the ore, I guess. I'm very sexy. Anyway. So I was just like, what the heck? And they just kind of grab you.
So fascinating to find out what your fantasies are.
They do like the after school special bullying act out where they just pull you on your arms like, I got you, you know? And that's kind of weird and creepy. So I thought, I'm like, are they trying to imply that I'm about to get raped in this alley as this girl? And then, like, I imagine it being a situation that some marketing person was like, yeah, right about 8 minutes into the game when she's walking around in the lady outfit and the three sailors try to rape her in that alley near the harbor. Yeah, we can't have that happen. So what you need to do is put food in her hands and say that the guys are chasing her for her food.
Nice reference.
And then a week later, they came back and said, you know what? The food isn't even it because we have an obesity problem in America. So we're just going to swap them. The girls are chasing the guys. They feel empowered. They're going to come after the rapers and pillagers in the pirate community. Girl power.
Just so everyone's aware, he's making fun of Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride in Disneyland.
if you don't know that and are over the age of, let's say, 18, I need you to unsubscribe to this show.
Yeah, I would dare say there are a lot of younger people that don't get that reference.
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant by safe rapist. And so they kind of mug you, and it was cool. And then you have a slave costume.
And it was cool.
It was cool.
It was cool.
There was a part of me that's like, and I know it's dumb, but I just think that's what makes games so much fun to me, is I get wrapped up in those elements of story where these guys are coming up and like, oh, buddies. Like, I wish I could make a movie of that where, like, you don't know what chick you're messing with. And then I pull out like a Crocodile Dundee style knife out of my sleeve that is completely hidden, and I just shove it into their sternum, like what happened to Steve Irwin, you know, like just bow, bow.
Oh, did he try to rape somebody? I thought it was a manta.
Well, he actually tried to rape that manta that photobombed those girls on spring break. A lot of references. This show is going to be called Reference-a-Palooza. So anyway, I just like the idea of being able to go, oh, you poor guys, you don't know what's coming, and then cutting them up. But you have a slave outfit that you could run and jump, and then in order, like kind
like
of
Princess Leia slave outfit.
No, not quite. More like, I was gonna say Maya Angelou, but that's very inappropriate.
And Irma Thurman.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. As if, but in blackface, and
well, make it safe.
Yeah. The way you get by guards is you have to find like crates and pick up, so it looks like you're working when you walk by them, which I thought was an interesting dynamic, but. And then you have weapons, and you go and do that. And then you have your full like assassin's getup, and the character is a girl who is which I thought was really interesting. As I was trying to figure out, how can this girl be a lady and be able to be passable as a slave in the same thing? And I think it's not really defined very well, and maybe it will as the story goes on. But they kind of touch on a little bit where. Her father is like a lord, like a gentleman within the town. And I think the mom was either, I'm guessing a former slave or something like that, because you see the mom at the very beginning of the game and they just don't address that part of it. It's like, yeah, so mom and dad hooked up in an interracial relationship pre-civil rights and Lincoln.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. You know, and move
I bet
forward.
That's going to come back. That sounds like.
Yeah,
that's
what I mean. That's what I mean. I don't mean it to sound like a criticism to Ubisoft, if I'm saying it incorrectly.
I don't think you are saying that correctly.
Yeah, whatever. No. Move along.
Don't ignore it. Just ignore it. It's something the body does.
But I do, like, that's what I mean. I think that they've done a really solid job of addressing those kinds of things. So I'm curious to see that dynamic. I really give them kudos to, like, I feel like it's funny that they have to put that disclaimer because they know people are going to get angry about the religious references and stuff like that.
What disclaimer do they have?
They put up there saying that this game was made by people with multiple ethnic and spiritual backgrounds and religious beliefs and faiths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like essentially saying, guys, we got a Jew in here. Okay.
Yep. So everybody. So he says it's okay.
Yeah. Everybody said. And then for this liberation one, there's a black lady and she's totally cool with what we said. She laughs at all of our jokes, everybody. Like it's essentially saying that
we ran this script by Howard Stern and he said go with it.
He's like, I'm not offended at all. So
Andrew Dice Clay gave it the thumbs up.
So I'm excited about the whole dynamic with within the slavery world, and
of course you are.
Yeah. Well, I know that I do a lot of racial jokes, but I just think I like it when games kind of, you know, they broach these kind of weird social issues that now in today's world don't really make sense. Like it doesn't make sense, and I feel like, you know, if you obviously this is predates video game technology and all that stuff, but. Like
pinball machines.
Yeah. There's like a too soon element that now is over and past. And so I don't know. I think it, I think it's a cool dynamic, and it makes for an interesting, compelling character and story. And
speaking of Disneyland, that has that same problem. If you go and you see the great moments with Mr. Lincoln, you know, they make a really big deal out of the Civil War because that was what Lincoln was all about. Yeah. And it's really hard to wrap your head around. And it's kind of depressing in the middle of the theme park to be like, and they draw up the issues of it, not just like there was this terrible moment in our history, but like the political and sociological issues involved with the war. And it's, you walk out going, did I just take a history lesson? What happened?
Well, you know, what's interesting to me about this whole thing is that everybody keeps, remember when we were in school and they would kind of tell you, you know, Lincoln actually didn't run under the issue of abolishing slavery. The only reason he abolished slavery was to go to fight against the South trying to, you know, break away. Spielberg's making this movie and, you know, and it seems to be like more and more people are talking about like, no, this was a big issue that he felt from like the beginning. And I wish I knew, was more of a historian and could look more into it. But I just thought
I would believe that's true. But that doesn't mean that his platform, that he leaned on that as a platform.
Right.
Like it probably came up, but what we know of the man, he was not a slave owner. He did not support slave owner. And I'm glad I brought up Lincoln then, because I need to post this on Facebook. But have you seen the ads for Lincoln, the film?
Yes.
The black and white ones. Every time I see them, I think they're an ad for Arkham Asylum. Because it's like the same white background with him looking down. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, wait, is that a parody? Oh, no, there must be a Lincoln movie coming out.
Why is Two-Face wearing a top hat? What's going on? And riding a horse.
It's identical. They're like, you know what really worked earlier? This Arkham Asylum ad. We should do that.
Funny.
It all comes back to Lincoln.
But the other thing I wanted to mention, besides the Assassin's Creed Liberation, but my joy with the Assassin's Creed 3 was, as I started talking about before we turned on the microphones, my son and I have been playing Assassin's Creed 3 together, and I had this idea because he's wanting to play.
How old is your son?
4.
14?
4. 4.
Just 4. 4D?
No, 04. He does not enter the fourth dimension of Spit. because I really wanted to play this game, and he wants to play Lego Batman because he wants to be involved. And so I was like, so I had this idea where I would let him
smaller
play.
Smaller than you, and his tastes suck.
Yeah, he's a horrible person. I'm not his real father.
Whoa, getting real.
What happened?
On the
what happened? What happened?
Second most real podcast.
I am his real father. That's not fair to him. Because in my mind, I'm like, that's a funny bit just to let Stu for 100 people out there to be like, oh wow. Whoa. But that's not fair to him. But anyway.
You were kidding.
Or my wife. That's really who I should be worried about, I guess. She's the only one dishonored. But anyway, because it is dishonorable to no longer have relations with me and some other man. That is what is considered dishonorable.
That would be dishonored.
And that's what I understand that game is about, that first-person shooter with swords. It's about my wife's adventure into infidelity. And
also, is it a first-person shooter with swords, or would it be a first-person stabber slasher?
Yeah, I think they call it a swinger.
First-person swinger, yes. I'm going to register that URL. Oh, it's already taken.
Uh-oh.
Ooh,
Google image search taken. Off. Google image search off. But so I thought it would be fun to let him play until he dies, which I thought would be pretty quick, because he came down and saw me kind of start to play the game, and it was really fun. I love my son so much, because he's like, yeah, get him, Dad, get him, get him. Like, he's yelling at me while I'm doing the cool sword moves and stuff, and he's like swinging his hands and getting into it. So I thought, well, clearly he likes it, and he goes, this game is cool, you know, so we trade it off. And the funny thing was is that, sure, he died pretty quick. And my plan was is that I would finish a level and then just give him the controller for the next mission until he died. And then I would finish it and so on and so forth. Well, I was trying to get 100% sync.
And what do you think the ratio of time would be? Like 50 minutes for you, 30 seconds for him?
Yeah, that's what my plan was. And so,
good for you.
So what was great, though, was that after about 2 or 3 deaths, he figured it out. Like, he figured out the combat of the game and was... And it was great because he doesn't understand how to move along to the next sequence. So anybody's played like Assassin's Creed, there are these missions where it's not about stealth or anything. It's just you're fighting off like multiple guys and it just keeps generating new bad guys. And I wish that they didn't, you know, subtly, like, you know how a bad guy, when you kill him, will just disappear into nothing, you know, and fade away. Mm-hmm. But they keep bodies now. Like, that's the new thing where bodies kind of stay to give you a little sense of reality. But in this game, it would have been like as epic as 300, because for a good 10 minutes, it was just my son sword fighting redcoats and destroying them and slaying them in the same little 10-foot square.
Like, nice.
So I taught him, he was getting stabbed a lot, and I taught him that when you see a triangle, because it gives you that little triangle indicator, turns red above their heads when they're about to attack you, I said, you have to press circle, thinking there's no way he's ever going to get this. Well, after a couple deaths, he figured it out, and that's when things really got awesome to watch my 4-year-old, because even though he's only manipulating the controller, you do that dumb thing where it's like it's him fighting, because like, and a guy would swing a musket with a bayonet and it would be behind him, and then he would press circle and the guy like puts the sword over his head like a no-look Magic Johnson pass. The sword goes over his head and runs like parallel with his spine and then blocks the blow, and then he turns around and like cuts the guy across his gut, you know, and Jacob is jumping up and down. He's like, yeah, I got him. And so he didn't really know, though, like there's the way that it does like the counterattacks in this game is that if you just press circle, it'll just knock the blow away. If you time it a little bit better, you'll knock the blow away and almost like Steven Seagal Aikido him and like use his own momentum to push him past you. But then there's a, like, if you time it perfectly, it goes into like a stop motion, like bullet time type effect. Mm-hmm. And if you hit square, then that's when you do the cool Assassin's Creed counter moves that always end in a kill. And so I told him, I go, see, when it goes slow like that, you go back and you hit square. And he figured out and was just, again, just destroying. There would just be a mound of dead bodies if they saved. Because he figured it all out and was just destroying guys. And it was just fun to watch. Like, I sat there watching him for 10 minutes, not getting to play the game because he figured out and there was no way that he was dying now. Like,
right.
I couldn't get him to move forward because he was like, oh, there's a new guy. And he thinks, I'm going to single-handedly defeat the British army. Like, that's what his mind is saying. And once these bad guys stop coming, then I'll stop fighting. But they drew first blood, Dad. They drew first blood.
They're here. There, we must defend. Well, when we played, because he is only 4, and we played the first Little Big Planet together, and we could not get over that one jump again, and it took us 30 minutes before I finally gave up. But every time, we would have been able to give up sooner, if not every time he wanted to jump and touch the jalapeno.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the level. He had to touch it.
Yeah, because it moved, and he liked that it swung, and he could hit it and impact it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, that he can have this advanced level of understanding for Assassin's Creed, but when he plays Little Big Planet, there's the cactuses there, and he'll just run into them. He pops out a little turned-over barrel and runs right into the spikes. And I go, why do you think it's going to turn out differently? why do you keep doing the same thing?
And what is his response? Apple juice.
Yeah, he doesn't. He just goes.
Corn.
He goes, no, I need to jump over those things. And I go, okay, yeah, you do, but you're not hitting jump. You're just running into them.
You're just running at them full speed.
Yeah.
So once again, buy a PlayStation Vita, have your life be changed.
Yes. Have a child. That's number one.
Yes.
I don't care how young you are. Quit coming up with excuses and have a child.
Yes, sir. Wait, I got one. He, my son, however, he doesn't know anything about it. He's far too smart.
I thought you were like, man, can he shake a Skylander? Whoa, boy.
No, he doesn't grab anything. At what point are they supposed to, like, know that there is an environment around them, because he is not at that point yet.
I think another couple months.
Okay, because he doesn't care about, like, every now and then he makes eye contact with something.
I seem to remember, like, 2 months he'll look at you and be aware of, like he's aware, but he can control enough to where he's like, I'm going to track you. You know what I mean?
That's happening a little bit some of the time.
And then 3 months is when it's like, okay, you're a person, not just a vegetable. Like,
right. I feel like, or air or a wall that, or a television.
Exactly.
Sour cream. All of these things we put in our son's face.
And he doesn't react to a damn one of them.
Look at sour cream! Why don't you care? So I got a new, speaking of technology, I got a Windows 8 compliant Dell.
Early adopter.
In fact, when I was picking it out at Fry's, it came out October 28th, right, was the release date. Mm-hmm. And I was there, the next week and finally making the purchase because I mulled it over and looked at different places. But I knew I wanted to get a new computer for work, and I knew I wanted it to be Windows 8 because why wouldn't I? And I'm in at Fry's looking at it, and the guy is going to get me one. And this guy, this random customer is like, oh, you're getting a Windows 8, huh? I said, yeah, you know, you gotta get with the times. And he's like, oh, it's too soon. No good. Too soon. what do you mean? His point, but I didn't care to listen to him, was that it's not going to be good enough yet because it's brand new.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why you got to hate? Like, clearly I'm buying it. I'm going to be like, hey, yeah, he's right. You know what I should do? Walk over here to these Windows 7 machines and buy a four-year-old OS, because that just makes much more sense because that guy read some article somewhere that said some patches aren't out yet. Give me a break.
CNET.com says wait 6 months.
Yeah. No, I'm buying a brand new computer. Why wouldn't I get the latest OS?
2 months more would be better.
Random dude in the aisle says. Like that guy.
So do you love it? Do you like it?
I recommend Windows 8. If you're a Windows person, if you enjoy what Windows have to offer, I think it's pretty exciting. It's definitely developed for the tablet. Like everything you do, I wish I could touch the screen because that's what it wants me to do right now.
Oh, really? That's what because I know that they're pushing, but I don't think those are Dells. Are they something different? The ones that are tablet or laptop, like they flop back and forth?
That is a Dell. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And but that's not what you got, right?
Nope, that's not what I got. Just a regular old laptop, which is beautiful. It's screaming fast. It's wonderful all the way around. But no, it doesn't have that magic. And they don't even have it on the floor yet. Those flipping ones. I think they're called switch lids or something. But you couldn't get one in a store if you wanted to. I'm sure you could go to Dell.com or something and get it. Mm-hmm. But who wants to buy something without ever holding it? That always makes me super nervous.
Yeah. I don't know why, but that reminded me while we were, I was out running around with the comic. That's what we do during the day is we'll go to a mall and...
When you say run around, I just imagine you're like... Whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop, whoop, it's like a Hard Day's Night montage.
Yeah, like an Enchanted where they're just like singing the same song for what had to be 2 hours, but more people keep joining them.
Yeah, it was something. It's a lot like that. And
it's exactly like that.
But we went to Target and I got to see a display of the Wii U and Heath was looking at the Batman Arkham Asylum because he's played through that game twice. Like he did like what you do where he's like, you know what? I like this game. I'll pop it in and play a little bit and replay all the missions. But he has all the gadgets now from the beginning. And so he was like, he's like, I got into it and I just played it through all the way again. Like I was like, I just love that game. And so I guess for the Wii U, they're doing a Batman Arkham Asylum like battle armor edition.
Yeah.
So it's essentially the same game. But what they did, and I thought it was really cool, is that with the Wii U controller, you know how it's got the touch. It's essentially a Vita. It's a little bit bigger than a Vita that is now your controller. And they find with that game, at least, I kind of went, oh, now I get one of the cool things about it where it incorporates. It incorporates like elements of the game. So you can pick it up almost like an augmented reality type situation. So you could go into that like Batman detective mode where you use your like electronic vision thing and you could see little spatters of blood. But you hold the controller up to your TV and move it around the TV to kind of zoom in and find what you're looking for. You can use that controller in the way that Batman in the game, for anybody who remembers, he has like the wrist play band, like what a quarterback has, but his is electronic, and so he can fiddle with it like a computer. So you can change your weapons on the fly in an instant. One of the things that I thought was also cool that they showed in the video demo was that you could do the explosive gel, right, and lay it all out and then wait for the guys to all be in perfect position. And you can explode the gel. If I remember correctly, the only thing you could do in the game was that you could set it and then set it all to blow at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in this game, it has the little map up there, and you could set it to blow individually or all at the same time. So you can hit kaboom, and then kaboom, and then kaboom. And then it also lets you look down and you could see the map and set waypoints without exiting out of the game. And Heath was funny. He's like, oh, so this is just so I don't have to press select. And I was like, well, yeah, but I still think that's kind of cool that they kept saying this thing like it immerses you in the game in a way that you've never been before. And yeah. I think that's kind of fair. It's like that bit that we talked about Skyrim, where it's like you kill a guy and immediately pause to loot and grab all of his stuff and then go back into it. It just makes it a little bit more streamlined. And I thought it was interesting, to say the least. I don't think it's worth buying, because it's the same game. It's not worth buying the Wii U for that.
But and there it is. Yeah. I was waiting for it.
If
you recall back to our episode where I recapped E3 coverage, that was that game you're describing was one of the big things Nintendo tried to sell with the Wii U. And the criticism that the guy asked him right after was said, it's the same game.
Yeah.
To which he said, no, it's an all new experience. It's the same game.
Well, my impression is that if you were going to buy a Wii U anyway, then it's worth it to get that game if you enjoyed it or haven't played it yet. Like, it was a pretty cool functionality, and I thought it was nice. But up until that point, I was like, this makes no sense to me at all. Like, I cannot wrap my mind around this at all. But I did hear somebody else say, I think either on another podcast or somewhere, that there's an element where because you could be playing a game and you could walk out of the room and still keep playing the game on the controller because you have the screen there.
Depending on the game.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I thought. I'm like, well, that's not all games. And why is that a thing? Like, oh, this TV is holding me down.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, there is something to be said about the evolution of these devices. And like we've talked about, mobile gaming, will phones and other devices eventually get to the point where they have a graphics engine and rendering abilities to be strong enough to compete with a dedicated mobile device? Can we say the same thing about a home device of like, do you need a dedicated box connected to your television, or can you game in other ways? But the problem with the Wii U that I still don't get is that it's still not mobile. Yeah. Like, say what you will, but I still have to play it at the house. And is that really what I want? I'm waiting to be able to play. There's so many games in the PlayStation store that I'm like, why is this not on the Vita? Yeah. Mega Man X, why is that not on the Vita? That should be a Vita game.
That's, I think, Vita's big issue, and they have to be aware of it, that the library just really blows.
Tiny.
Yeah, it's really.
But Mega Man X, you can't tell me that game is big. I'd like to see the file size. Well, there's no way that can't be on the...
No, you're absolutely right. And that's where I know that it's going to be hard for it's probably hard for them to convince people to develop new games for a console that really isn't maybe pushing. It's not selling a lot of units, and it doesn't have an existing library. It's like that thing when people need to get up to go to the bathroom. Like, once one person does it, then it's like, okay. Or making your plate when you're at a party. You know, once one person hits the buffet, then it's like everybody can go. I think that's what these developers might be doing, and that a smart way to get them to move units is they should really be selling this fun thing that you could play old Nintendo games or old Dreamcast games, and they're just a $10, $5 download, because that appeals to a market like mobile gaming on your phone does, and that it's just a cheap game that you could play, but it also appeals to gamers that are like, oh my gosh, I remember playing Mega Man and I love it and I want to play more of it.
Also, Captain Crunch, Neo Geo, and Irma Thurman. There, I just wanted to finish up Bitapalooza with some more references.
Thank
there
you. I appreciate that. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter @secondfunniest. You can follow me @JustinWorsham. If you want to talk to Kevin, the best Twitter, as he has said, is @secondfunniest, or on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. All that stuff. Please continue to help spread the word about the show. And on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.